In 2001, the Foreign Secretary of the United Kingdom declared that chicken tikka masala was a national dish of Great Britain. It was a great moment for multiculturalism, even though you might note that colonialism in South Asia left something to be desired, and of course the unkind joke is that if the British had anything good to eat at home, maybe they wouldn't have gone all the way to India. But, you know, global politics aside, things have changed. London is now arguably one of the best cities in the world for eating, not just for its cultural diversity, but also for the city's chefs. Alexandra Crapanzano has eaten through all of it, and she talked with the New York Times columnist Melissa Clark about the four London chefs she thinks changed everything.
Alexandra, so great to have you here.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So why does British food have such a bad reputation, even now?
Well, it shouldn't anymore, but it still does. I think it really has to do with the fact that for, you know, 1,000 years, practically, the reputation was that you ate aged mutton and boiled vegetables, vegetables boiled down to, you know, a kind of gray, pulpy mass that was just really, really revolting. And that reputation, because I think it was so graphic, really stuck. Desserts, however, were always amazing. Baked goods were always amazing. Scones and clotted cream and steamed puddings and Bakewell tarts. And that was, I think, where British food for so long was at its most delicious. But when you went to the cities and went to restaurants, the food really was terribly bland and very stuffy. It was either on the very kind of stuffy formal level or the very casual curry house, quick meal level.
So it was either you went to the Savoy or you went to a curry house.
Exactly. And there was very, very little in between.
And so when did all this begin to change?
I feel that it really began to change in the 80s with a couple very important key players. Terence Conran, who many of us think of almost more for his work in design, opened Bibendum in 1987, which is a restaurant in Chelsea that was famously known for a beautiful stained glass window of the Michelin man, the Michelin tire man, and it had been that factory originally. And he really loved the very simple food of Elizabeth David, French Provençal food, Italian food, and he wanted to take the simplicity of that food and bring it to London and also to break down the kind of heavy decorations that were so common in fancy British restaurants. So he really kind of pared things down enormously so that they were, you know, the room was filled with natural light and the plates were white and food was kind of simply prepared and simply plated and it wasn't fussy. And therefore, people were able to have a lot of fun.
And Elizabeth David, she was one of the most important food writers in England, right?
Elizabeth David was an enormously important food writer. She published Mediterranean Cooking in 1950.
So in addition to Conran, who were the other two big influencers? You mentioned there were three.
Yes, absolutely. One of them is actually two, which is Ruthie Rogers and Rose Gray. Rose Gray, unfortunately, died a couple years ago. But they started also in the late 80s a restaurant called the River Cafe, which is still absolutely thriving and delicious. And the River Cafe is an Italian restaurant. It is on the river, and it is quite different from other restaurants in London and was very groundbreaking then. And the space itself, which was designed by Ruth Rogers' husband, Richard Rogers, who was the designer of the Pompidou Center in Paris and Lloyd's of London, is really an architectural masterpiece. The other person is Fergus Henderson, who pioneered what we call nose-to-tail cooking. He actually started as an architect, and he opened St. John Food and Wine as a chef and really believed in eating all of the animal. He believed it was actually only polite if you were going to kill an animal to eat all of it. And so while he does serve lots of strange ingredients, he actually also serves really beautiful, hearty British food, but prepared in a way that is, I wouldn't say modern, but it is so perfectly crafted. It's as though he has taken the best of French technique and combined that with a British tradition.
Now, these three are at the roots of what you call the London culinary trees. Can you talk about that?
Yes. So when I started researching, I quickly noticed that many of the really good young chefs had trained at either St. John Food and Wine with Fergus Henderson, or the River Cafe with Ruthie Rogers, or had trained with Simon Hopkinson of Bibendum, which was Terence Conran's restaurant. And so I was seeing these incredible links between people, and I was seeing almost a brotherhood and a sisterhood among chefs, which is very rare, I think, an immense solidarity and appreciation for each other, as well as a shared belief in seasonal ingredients, sustainability, craft, all of these things. And what I discovered was that Fergus Henderson and Ruthie Rogers are both not only great chefs, but they're also really at heart teachers, and that they had shepherded an entire generation of really good cooks and mentored them. So many of the really good chefs cooking today in London had trained at one of those two restaurants, if not both.
Now, if you were going to send someone to one restaurant, they just have one night in London, where would you send them? I know this is hard.
That is really hard. I mean, I would probably say the River Cafe is a place that everybody should go to once. But I also would say that about St. John Food and Wine and, oh, goodness, and Nopi. And there's a wonderful Moorish restaurant owned by Sam and Sam. They're both named Sam, husband and wife, Clark, which I also think is fantastic. So, no, I can't break it down to one.
Well, it's been great talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it was a pleasure, Melissa. Thank you.
Alexandra Crapanzano is author of The London Cookbook. Melissa Clark's new book is Dinner, Changing the Game. Now, Alexandra left us with a recipe for roasted corn and chorizo chowder. Find it at splendidtable.org.